More than a dozen women have come forward with allegations against Donald Trump, allegations ranging from harassment to assault. Many of them told their stories during the campaign and watched him become president anyway, and also heard him say that these stories are lies and nonsense. We wondered what it's like to be one of these women, so we reached out to Jessica Leeds. She was sitting next to Donald Trump on a plane in the early 80s, and she says he groped her and tried to put his hand up her skirt.
I started telling my story to everybody who would stand to listen for it when I realized Trump was serious about running for president. And so that was about a year before the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I told everybody. I told friends, I told neighbors, I told my book club, I told anybody who would listen for it. And for the most part, everybody believed me. There were times when I would get a look or something like that, that I knew that they really didn't believe me. And I understood that because it had happened so long ago. But what transpired was during the debates, when Anderson Cooper asked Trump point blank, have you ever groped a woman? And he tried to talk about Syria.
I hate it, but it's locker room talk, and it's one of those things. I will knock the hell out of ISIS.
But Anderson didn't let him off the hook. He re-asked the question.
Just for the record, though, are you saying that what you said on that bus 11 years ago, that you did not actually kiss women without consent or grope women without consent?
I have great respect for women.
And Trump said no.
Have you ever done those things?
Women have respect for me. And I will tell you, no, I have not.
Well, I found myself on my feet yelling at the TV set, which was very useful. And I didn't sleep that night at all. And I got up the next morning and my email was just lit up like a Christmas tree from all my friends and acquaintances saying, you've got to say something. You've got to say something. And I sat down and I fired off a letter. I came home after about 2 hours and the New York Times, where I had sent my letter, was on the phone. And that then started a day that was somewhat bizarre for a person who's not in the world of fame. And then they printed the story with my picture on the front page of the Times. Now, for a kid from Missouri, this was, holy cow, this was really something else. So it's all been quite fascinating and illuminating and sad all at the same time. And we're still... It didn't change anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, why sad? I mean, did you think at the time that something was going to come of it?
No.
No, at the
time. No, I really didn't. So when the other women came forward, and I'd like to point out, the stories that the other women have told are carbon copies of each other, and we've had no contact with each other. So, you know, it's his MO, and I think that speaks volumes to the authenticity of their experience.
You've since talked to some of the other women who've come forward with allegations against President Trump. Like you said, you weren't in contact at the time, but
no.
You've since... Yeah, so tell us about that.
Well, following the news story, there were two emails that were forwarded to me by the Times. And then it was just about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, one of the other ladies called me and we talked for a while. But that's been it.
Mm-hmm. And what are those conversations like?
It is expressing their disappointment that by exposing themselves, they've run into a lot of criticism from their community and their families.
Hmm. Has that been your experience?
I live in a New York bubble. When it first happened, people came up to me, women for the most part, but a few men, and they all said the exact same thing. It was really kind of spooky. They said, thank you, and you're so brave. Well, I never felt any fear, so feeling brave just doesn't cover. But it was, as I said, I felt sad and disappointed that it didn't affect the election.
After the election, of course, were the reports about Harvey Weinstein and all of the reports that followed. I mean, some people are calling it a moment, but it feels a lot bigger than a moment. What do you think about it? As these stories come out, you know, it seems like almost every day there's one, a new story of allegations against a powerful man and a powerful man resigning or being fired.
I have sort of come to the conclusion that any man who holds a job of importance or authority, a lot of them are waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning wondering when the shoe's going to drop on them. But some of these men have a very strong capacity to not ignore, but compartmentalize what they've done and why they've done it. If I can make an observation here, during this year, right at the beginning, people would come up to me with their stories. And then after the Weinstein story broke, it started again with people coming up to me, recognizing me, and talking to me. And another conclusion I've come to is that women, or the victim here, remember in great detail, even if they were 8 years old, they remember when it happened, who it happened with, how they got out of it, and they all went home or got out and never told anybody. And a lot of them talked about taking their clothes and throwing them away. And I just don't think that men have any comprehension of the psychological damage that they're doing when they're just scratching an itch.
And just, you know, you talked about early on yelling at the TV.
Yes.
And, you know, it just makes me wonder, has there been any time throughout this process where you felt like that again? You know, when the Harvey Weinstein story broke, or even recently when the president said, maybe it wasn't me on the Access Hollywood tape.
I get mad every time I listen to somebody's story. And as I said, I've heard a lot of stories. I've done a lot of talking. I've been interviewed by a lot of people. And about halfway through the media scrum, I realized that it was all about me. So I started taking the time to ask the reporter, well, you know, what's your story? And everybody's got a story. And that just gives me cold chills. So I'm not an angry person, but this makes me angry.
Jessica Leeds, a recently retired stockbroker in New York City. Thanks again.
You're welcome.